It's another edition of the Fallscast brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, where today, Sunday, July 4th, Independence Day.
Woohoo!
It is sunny and maybe a little cloudy and in the upper 70s, supposed to be like upper 80s today. So you couldn't ask for a better 4th of July for barbecue weather. We are here with some of our favorite Fallscasters, including the always impressive Mr. Bart Sullivan.
Hello.
The lovely and talented Suzanne Searle.
Hello. Happy 4th of July.
Our good friends Stephen and Jennifer Muley.
Hello.
Howdy doodly doo.
And as always, my best friend, Mike Searle.
Hello, everybody. And I still hate you, Alex.
Thank you for that. My name is Alex Hall, and I will be your moderator as usual. And on today's Fallscast, we will have my interview with Jerry Holland of the Cuyahoga Falls Historical Society. She's talked to us about the Hansparker Project, which has amassed enough money to get the monument for the Hansparkers, who were a formerly enslaved couple who lived in Cuyahoga Falls in the 19th century. Really cool story. Also, a lot of good information in that interview about the Cuyahoga Falls Historical Society, which I knew nothing about. And I'm really happy that I got to have that talk with her because it was very cool, very interesting. And I cannot wait to take my butt down there to check out all the cool stuff that they have inside that place. And by the way, it is completely funded by volunteers, not funded by volunteers. It's completely staffed by volunteers and completely funded by donation. So if you're interested in history, if you want to see the Historical Society continue to be down there doing its thing, then head down there, check it out, and give them a donation while you're there, because it's good to preserve history, and they do a great job, even though they're not getting paid. So,
where is it located?
It's on Cook Street.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
On Cook Street. Okay.
Cool. So yeah, it was a really cool interview. So hang out after our roundtable discussion to hear that. Also, we are so excited to tell you about our 50th episode extravaganza. This is where you guys all applaud.
Woo!
Party! Yay! 50. Yeah. That is crazy.
Old. 50 is quite a marker for our little podcast here, which started, as we were just discussing before we started recording, because more or less of the pandemic. But we made it. This is episode 49 we're recording right now that you're listening to right now. And the next episode we do will be live in person from the Jenks building. We're going to do that Thursday, July 15th, starting at 5:30. We're going to have music from Bert Franco of the Moderns.
People are going to have to see our faces.
It's true. It's true. We're going to do it. We're going to do it live. We'll do it live.
It'll be our make or break moment.
It is. No pressure. No pressure, people.
But we have a lot of cool stuff going on. So the Jenks building, number one, is an amazing place that everybody should see. So we're really glad to be able to do it there and highlight such a cool local establishment. They will have drinks and stuff for sale. I think I'm going to bring some veggie trays, maybe, if you guys are good.
And as Michael reminded me when we set this up, we were the first ones to cover the Jenks building.
Yeah, because we're awesome.
We were. Yeah, Bart was. Bart, you did an article on it.
Yes, Bart rules. Bartman, the contributor of the year 2020.
Yeah, probably 2021, too. We're not sure. Yeah.
He got it all on the back end with all the 12 films of Christmas happening very quickly, I might add. But so it's going to be at the Jenks building. Jenks building sells drinks and stuff. We'll have a couple of light snacks available for people to munch on. Starting at 5:30, we're going to have live music from Bert Franco of the Moderns. He's going to be chilling, doing a solo thing, which should be great. And then at 6:30, we will have a panel discussion featuring Mike Searle, Suzanne Searle, Sullivan, Jennifer Muley, and me, Alex Hall.
Boo.
I knew you'd say
dream team.
Yep.
We will
talk. That guy.
We will talk a little bit about the origins of the Fallscast and a little bit maybe about some of our favorite interviews and our favorite episodes and some of our inside jokes and all the goofiness that ensues on a weekly basis here at Fallscast. We'll do it live and in person, and people will be able to ask us questions and shout things at us and slap Mike around. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Someone's going to take my job.
And then,
how are we kidding?
For legal reasons, that was a joke.
Yeah. How are we finding our audience to attend?
Well, we have just posted a Facebook event that everybody on this podcast is going to go on their page and share and tell all their friends to come. But you know what? One of the things that happens when you throw a big event is you get a headliner who really pulls the butts into the seats. And to wit, we have
Who is it?
We have secured a live interview with none other than Cuyahoga Falls Mayor Don Walters. That's where you also applaud.
Yay!
That's right. The mayor will be there with us in person for a inside the actor's studio style sit down with me. And we will talk about, all the good Cuyahoga Falls stuff, opening Front Street, his Mustang that he's had since he was 17. The closing of Front Street, the fact that he met his wife in Cuyahoga Falls. The guy is Mr. Cuyahoga Falls. We're going to have him tell us all about his background, in addition to his spiel about how great the city's doing right now. And, maybe we'll figure out what he's going to do about those skunk while we're at it.
And
fill
the potholes.
Fill the potholes with them.
Yeah, the potholes, yes, sure.
And State Road.
So we're looking forward to that. We are very appreciative that the mayor is giving us some of his valuable time to come and celebrate our 50th episode and to really kind of kick off the political season. It is July. November is not that far away, and we're going to be talking to all of our excellent city council candidates, or at least the ones who we want to talk to and who want to talk to us. And what better way to start that whole thing out than with our great mayor? So I'm very excited. Hope everybody will join us again at the Jenks Building on Front Street, Thursday, July 15th. Come on down somewhere around 5:30, listen to some excellent local music from Bert, and then listen to me get abused by the panel, and then interview the mayor. It's going to be great.
What are you talking about?
We would never abuse you.
No, never.
Mike's going to have to censor himself.
That is true.
It's going to suck. Maybe like in the corner. Twitching.
Maybe get him like a shock collar or something.
I think he's just going to, shock collars are great. I just like the idea of like him holding the mic and then every so often he's going to go and then stop.
Nope.
That, nope. Never mind. What? No.
Never mind.
Duct tape my mouth. No. Nope.
Well, we'll catch that on video, so don't worry about it.
That is the other thing. Steven has been kind enough to agree to videotape this thing. And so we will have a video. We will release this as our 50th episode podcast. So the audio will come out like any other podcast, but we'll have, that live feel with the live audience. And it's going to be great. We're very excited about it. We kept it under our hats until now, but it is officially on Facebook. And as of this morning, lots of people had clicked that they were either going or interested. And we look forward to seeing all your pretty faces. So come and hang out with us. Other stuff. We do still have some upcoming articles, one of which is going to be a new Tap Talk that we discussed last week because Mike and I had gone, I think, last Saturday to Hoptree. So I'm going to get that written up, and we'll put that out for everybody to check out. Beer. So, Bart, did you have an article coming up on Shelf Life, or is it just a podcast interview?
No, that's the podcast interview.
And we're going to hear that next week?
That'll come out on episode 51.
Oh, right. Okay, because next week is the mayor.
Done talking about it, dude.
You're right. I did. God damn it. Stephen,
that's old age. That's old age.
I have a few images that go along with that Shelf Life interview.
Awesome.
Cool. So, we have a couple of things coming up. We do have some new articles up online. Mike's article on the Farmer's Rail is going to be coming out real soon, as we get Stephen to get us some pictures. There's been some other new things going up. Bart, you just put up something about the curated Front Street thing.
Yes.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
The series is called Curated Art on Front Street. And Thursday evening, Thankfully, the rain let up. Ballet in the City performed by the fountain across from Ohio Brewing Company.
We saw that by accident.
I didn't even see that any Facebook posts for it at all.
Until after.
They posted a bunch of stuff after the fact, but not before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in my feed. Because otherwise, I would have went down and shot it. I had my camera with me. I got to walk down there and shot it. Yeah,
totally forgot.
I was like, I should go check that out. I was like, oh, I'm too hungry. And I went in and went to eat.
Food.
I think it was sort of meant to be kind of a flash mob type thing, though. I think that's what it did.
Yeah, they're very much like flash in the pan. Hey, here's something happening real quick downtown. But the next performance will be on, I'm looking at the article because I don't remember the date, Saturday, July 17th. And that'll be jazz and hip-hop musician Eric Jensen. He'll be performing in that little stage area next to the Farmer's Rail.
That's just 3 days after the live recording of the episode 50 extravaganza. Yeah, I snuck that in. Well, Collide is awesome, and Bart is awesome for writing about curated art on Front Street. So make sure you go check out Eric Jensen on the 17th and other cool stuff. Also, we want to encourage our readers / listeners to shop local, so please keep your money in the falls. I have written here, y'alls. You guys didn't like that last week.
Yins.
Going to ask what businesses you guys have patronized this week.
Yeah, we did, like we said, the Works. That was our first time.
First trip, yeah.
It was cool.
Tasty beer.
How was it?
It was good. They were quite busy and perhaps a little bit understaffed. Those servers were running. They were running hard. So it was good. It looked very fun and lively. We didn't play any games, but we watched. We looked around, and it was fun.
Then Ichiban and
We had papaya salad. Well, we eat out a lot.
And then also Sarah's Vineyard.
Oh yeah, Sarah's Vineyard. We went to last night and tried to watch the fireworks.
Yeah, drank way too much wine and ate bad food and tried to watch the fireworks from their parking lot.
Yeah, it was fun.
Sounds like a perfect Saturday night.
It was. Yeah, all good.
Well, we went to Clean Eats again, of course. But this time we took our order to go next Clean Eats called, what is it called?
High Bridge Glens?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the little butterfly park there.
The butterfly park. And we were able to sit like in the little gazebo. It was a beautiful day. And then we took a walk down to the river. I did not realize, I guess I haven't been there for a while, how nice it is when you just start taking down that bridge and you're going down and you're right by the river and you're hearing the water, and it's just gorgeous. If you have not been down there for a while, I recommend going and checking it out.
It's the coolest, the most, I think the prettiest time of the year to see it is actually in winter when all the water freezes over top of the rock face underneath.
That was Mike was saying when he really was cool. Younger, he used to do that. He used to go there before, you know, it was even safe, I'm sure. And take pictures of the ice forming on there. And it's really cool. You can see how it was like during the ice age with the glaciers and the rocks forming it. And really lucky to have that kind of, you know, nature around us that we can just easily and for free. I mean, park for free, walk down there. It's just, it's fantastic.
100% agree. It's
very pretty.
We have so much, like nature therapy right in the middle of our city. And then
we do.
It's interspersed in all of our neighborhoods too. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really close to Front Street. So you have all of the hustle and bustle of Front Street. And then you can go there and you hear the water, you know, running, and it's just very serene and very quiet. And, you know, the beautiful butterfly garden that they put in there, and they have a nice little poster or whatever, that plaque of all the plants. And, you know, so I think it's pretty cool. I mean, we're always looking for ideas of what to put in our backyard, and we got some ideas, and yeah, it was nice. Highly recommend doing that.
Bert, where did you go this week?
I made another trip down to Shelf Life. I helped a friend donate a ton of books.
Nice.
And
what kind
possibly
of books?
Like pulled my back out doing so.
What type of books did she donate?
Just all of these old fantasy books.
Oh, I love fantasy. Oh my gosh. Okay. I wanted to know if I needed to go check it out.
Cool.
but like 20 or 30 books just yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, another trip there, Mike.
Did you go to Hi-Ho for some pizza, Bart? I see Hi-Ho on here.
I did. Got some pepperoni. Was going to get their special, but apparently their specials are now monthly instead of every other week. So there's still time to go down there. They had basically a cheeseburger pizza.
There you go.
And so I'm definitely going to have to stop down there again before the end of July for that.
All right. And Pavs, looks like you went. Wow, you went. There's more on here, Bart.
Made my way. Got some Pavs ice cream and then stopped in at Reverie. Got myself a Bigfoot sticker from my car.
Awesome.
Nice. You know, our older daughter went to Reverie yesterday. She was looking for some stickers. She didn't luck out. She didn't find what she was looking for. But yeah, nice.
Almost bought some Friends colored pencils, but I chose not to.
I'm surprised there's any stickers left in Isle of Chicago Falls. I think they're all in the back of Alex's car.
That's because my car is fucking cool.
Is it?
Oh, you just said the F word. Oh, sorry, Bart. I'm telling. Sorry, Bart.
Sorry, Bart.
Well, I, if you must know, went to Flights because my daughter is a student there for gymnastics.
I thought you would like to do gymnastics.
Maybe I would, Mike.
I thought you were doing some tumbling.
Maybe I would.
You were doing
maybe
some tumbling,
I am.
Weren't you?
Probably. I
don't
know.
The kids. Oh, it's the kids.
Oh, man.
They watch the kids while I tumble.
Yes.
Also, my kids have been going to the YMCA summer camp, and I want to make sure I made mention of that. Steven and Jen will know from past conversations that I was like very reticent to go to the YMCA. For many, many years.
Yes, you gave them a little bit of a poo-pooing, the YMCA, our favorite place.
Necessity is the mother of invention, and, you know, my kids...
They're really good people.
They do a good job with my kids in spite of my kids being very frustrating sometimes.
Full of energy.
Yeah, I have
everyone's,
to...
Everyone's kids are frustrating.
Yeah, I think that's just a kid thing. Most kids
that's
can
default.
Be like, yeah, that's
default. Default mode. That's pretty just normal. Like, ugh!
So I have to shout them out because we've been going there. And then I went to Quench Juice Cafe, which is the new place that that replaced the smoothie bar that was at the corner of like Buckholzer and Howe. I forget what that
was. Used to be Pulp.
It was
used to be Pulp.
That's right, yeah. So I went there and I got a smoothie. It was pretty good. And they have a lot of like, you know, like juice shot type things. And they have all like the additives and stuff. So if you're into that sort of thing, it's definitely a good place. I just got a smoothie. I just wanted a smoothie. I sort of forgot that they'd even changed names, but it was good. And they had everything fresh.
Do they have food too, or are they still just all juice and smoothies?
I think they had like some wraps and stuff. But like I had ordered a smoothie, and everything had banana, and I don't like banana in smoothies because to me, when you get banana in a smoothie, your whole smoothie tastes like banana. So
yeah.
And?
I don't understand. I put a banana in my smoothie every single morning, so you know what?
That's totally fine because it's for you.
Banana.
I like bananas.
We are
I just don't want
now.
Them in my smoothie. Okay. But it said apple juice. It said it had apple juice in it, and I'm like, oh, well, that's smart. That like would sweeten it up. So I'm expecting them to like pour some apple juice in. No, they pulled an apple off the shelf, put it through a juicer, and put it in my smoothie. So I was like, oh, okay.
Nice. Awesome. You're getting that fiber in it. That's good.
Yeah. So that was cool. And then finally,
he needs the fiber.
I'm not going to unveil what I got, but I did go to the new Iron Ink Tattoo Parlor, which is also a barbershop. It's a tattoo and barber. It's on North Haven and Portage Trail, right there across from the MMA place. I got a big old tattoo.
Top level jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Top level.
Yeah, whatever it is. So I have a giant tattoo on my arm right here.
Of Rainbow Dash?
Yes, of Rainbow Dash. Obviously. But I have a lot more work to do to it until it's finished, and until then I will not show you. So I want to shout them out. Jesse is the artist there and the owner, and his business is really nice on the inside. He's very professional, and he's a great artist. So check out Iron Ink Tattoo. If you're interested in getting a tattoo locally. He's new. He's been there less than a year. So, as always, we would love to hear your article ideas or submissions of your own work. If you would like to collaborate with us or just want to see us interview someone specific or anything like that, drop us a line at falsefreepress@gmail.com or via our Facebook page at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. If you don't, it'll just be Mike doing the That's What She Said shtick every damned week. It's purgatory. I tell
Welcome
you.
To hell.
That's what she said.
That's heaven.
Yeah, I those are the best. Sorry. Don't ever stop, Mike.
That's what she said.
Oh, nice.
What up, Paul?
That was good. That was good.
See, there's a little teaser preview of what you could expect.
Yeah. Yep.
You do you.
Live Mike. And in person.
24/7, baby.
I dare you to do that to the mayor. Double dare.
Please, please do it to the mayor.
Instead of saying sorry, Bart, he's going to be saying sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. That's what she said.
Also, please keep sending us your feedback to tell us what you think of the show by sending your comments via falsefreepress@gmail.com or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/falsefreepress, and by reviewing us on whatever podcast catcher you use to listen, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. And finally, please get vaccinated. People ages 12 and up can get vaccinated, and it's one of the major reasons we can go and enjoy live music and hang out in person, such as at the 50th episode extravaganza happening Thursday, July 15th at 5:30 p.m. But we have to get vaccinated
at the Jenks building
in order to be safe. That's right, at the Jenks building. So get vaccinated and help get this thing over with once and for all. And if you can't get vaccinated, just wear a mask. That's all it is. All right, and that leads us to our roundtable discussion. This week, Cuyahoga Falls Library will not only expand its hours, but it will forgive all overdue fines from July 6th to 17th. Any outstanding materials you have out can be returned with no fees, and previous overdue fines may be waived, as well as no cost to replace your library card if it is lost. Materials can be returned inside or in the outside return slot, and the new hours are Monday through Thursday from 10 to 8, and Friday and Saturday 10 to 5. Thank you, Bart, who was typing that as I was reading. I was literally watching it appear.
Awesome. Yay. Mike and I were at the library yesterday, and we saw a certain person and got to say hi and picked up a few things. And I'm so happy to be able to get back into the library. I feel safe going in there and checking things out again.
Was it Jesus? Did you see Jesus?
I'll never tell.
Okay. So that's cool. No fines, huh? I don't have anything checked out, so I guess I'm exempt.
Mike just paid his fine, too.
Oh, what did you have checked out?
I have 60 cents. Does that mean it's going to be forgiven?
No. Yours is an old fine.
It's an old fine.
That's what mine was.
It's just 60 cents.
I'm just lazy.
They just want their crap back is what I think it is. They just want their crap back. Bring back your crap.
Right.
They won't give you a fine. Just bring back your crap. We need it.
I figure I like contribute to the library when I pay fines. Like I'm doing a service to the community when I forget to bring back stuff. So you're welcome.
Well put.
Students who wish to attend virtually next school year will still have the option, still being part of the district, being taught from a different facility than their main school, like last year. At last week's school board meeting, the Educational Service Center of Western Reserve was approved to provide remote instruction to students electing for such during the fall semester. Students will still be allowed to participate in extracurricular activities if they choose this option, as it will be keeping them in the district. Cuyahoga Falls School District is, by doing so, is preventing money from going to different communities. Choose to take more than 4 core classes and 2 electives, though, during the semester, they will have to pay a fee. But the cost for each student to do these space classes, which is $2,500 per student, is being covered by the school system in order to keep them in the district. So it'll still be an option to do remote learning, but they're moving it away from having the main teachers at the school do it.
I think this is a great option. I'm glad that they're doing this. because some people are not comfortable going back to school. Sure. And some children learn better this way. So I'm glad that they're doing this.
How much staff is going to be dedicated to teaching virtually versus regular staff?
Yeah. Do they have to hire additional resources to do the online?
The Educational Service Center of Western Reserve. Oh, okay. So teachers there will be handling it.
Oh, and that's a role that they're already doing. So they're just looping in more kids.
It's doing so. The students are still in the fall school district. They can still do all the extracurriculars, you know, be on all the teams. But this way, they're not having to go to a different school to get what they need.
That's really interesting. Okay. I think that's a pretty progressive plan. I like it.
It's a good compromise to make everybody happy, or at least attempt to, anyway. And you're never going to make everyone happy, but you know, at least there's options now, you know.
Yeah, very cool.
So, Mike, you're going to have to stop running down the street at 35 miles per hour covered in honey, because a black bear was spotted throughout Hudson and Stowe this past week, making its way through Twinsburg as well.
It's Mike. 40, by the way. It's 40. Not 35.
Oh,
he's increased his speed.
Yes.
Wow.
Slather really working on that cardio.
Yep. Everyone would mistake him from Bigfoot, not from the black bear. So, yeah.
That's true.
He's hairy enough for it.
Say it's like a silverback gorilla running down the street with a bald head.
I'm trying to think what's more baldy, but yeah, a little bonobo.
Man.
Horny of the apes.
Can we just start calling Mike Bonobo? I just like that.
Yes, they trade in sexual favors to keep violence down. They're happy.
You, Mike.
Bonobo Mike.
Call Mike a horny ape.
He's happy and trades in sexual favors.
H-A.
That'll jive with what we know, right, Suzanne?
That's why I'm so happy all the time, right?
Wow, that really went sideways.
I blame you.
Thanks, hon. That was great.
Sorry.
So about this bear, Bart. Though.
The Goodyear Heights Metro Park. That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's where it came from?
That's where it is right now.
Okay.
Last sighting.
I think it was like 2 years ago I was at Nature Realm and they had a taxidermed black bear in the lobby there. And I said, like, are there bears around here? And she's like, well, there used to be. And I guess this is partly news because they're kind of back, you know? So the Quirt Cultural Center has reopened after being closed for over a month due to a broken water line, elevator, and damaged boiler. I mean, just the hits keep coming. The city is still working on the final cost of repairs, but it forced all classes inside the building to be postponed. But luckily it is back up and running now. What do we think? Are we excited? Who's going to Quirk?
How long was it closed for?
Maybe a month, maybe.
Okay. My kid goes to the Quirk playground and swings on the swings every once in a while. I haven't been to Quirk for anything inside in maybe 10 years.
We used to see improv
shows.
About a year and a half ago, I went for a couple Akron Camera Club meetings, and I think they moved to Akron actually now, but they were in the Quirk for a while. I did that, and then, you know, they have I've always wanted to take some of the ceramics classes, so the pretty cool woodworking classes too, but they have all the equipment and everything. So I wanted to do that just because, well, it would be fun to make shit.
So Steve's wish list of things to do in Quirk, but never actually did.
Correct. Yes.
Got it.
And I've also
now's the time
about,
to do it.
I've also thought about trying to maybe teach a photography class through there, but who knows? But that's like, you know, a huge maybe in bucket list, and probably never happen. So
maybe after you retire from the podcast.
Maybe when I'm like 90.
Mm-hmm. After episode,
you're never
900.
Retiring from the podcast. You're in it forever for life.
Oh, man.
Well, it's good that they're back open. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what?
Kick that beat.
Bart's Arts, Bart's Arts, Bart's Arts, Bart's Arts.
Bart's Arts.
Yeah, that wasn't as good as I normally do.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's your beat. It's your beat. It's just. It's
yeah,
just
the second beat, like, was way.
The slow beat.
It was too
yeah.
slow.
The slow beat
does not work. Different song. I don't know. I mean, maybe I am. You know, I just.
You know,
I'm
maybe it's time
my...
for an overhaul. No, maybe it's time for an overhaul.
Of my song.
Time to drop the beat.
Overhaul of Mike.
Is bananas again? Are we going back to that? Are you still angry about that? What's happening?
No, Alex loves banana.
Somebody,
but...
somebody's salty.
No, no.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. A salty banana.
No, man.
Oh, it's the worst
okay,
band.
Bart, what's
a great bar name?
Sorry, Bart. Salty banana. Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
There's always money in the banana stand.
Yep.
And also in the
I
banana
burned it down. Now I need to run down the street in a banana hammock.
Well, you can have two bars right next to each other. The salty banana and the banana hammock.
Sweaty, salty banana hammock.
Oh, geez. Moving Side on. Track.
Off the rails again. Bye.
Now I'm just, like now I'm just gonna have to change my name to crap back.
That means
Bart, tell us of the art.
Okay, I'm gonna start then. The lineup for the Falls Downtown Fridays has been announced. They start August 6th and will have bands such as the Theron Brown Trio, the Buck Naked Band, Carlos Jones and the Plus, Roxy Moron, and ending with Mark Lee Shannon. So
hey, you guys know who's opening for Theron Brown?
Is it some dweeb named Alex?
Summit Sky, baby. Summit Sky,
no.
baby.
Why don't you tell us, Alex?
Yeah.
Summit Sky.
Who?
Summit
who
Sky.
Who is that?
Who?
Summit Sky.
Someone wrote an article for us about him, I think.
Oh, that's right. Okay. All who? Right. Yeah.
Alex is in a band.
What?
Who?
Guy sings.
The good people at the city of Cuyahoga Falls know your music man. When they hear it.
He doesn't get any respect at all.
No respect. No respect.
Please proceed with the next part, Bart.
Carry on, Bart.
No, this is fun.
The title of this episode will be Shit on Alex.
Bart's Arts and Shit on
Hey, Alex. I had to edit every out of last week's episode. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit,
yeah,
that's like 500.
And finally, be sure to check out the reception for the floral and landscape exhibit at Cauga Valley Arts Center, where they're going to announce the first through third honorable mentions and People's Choice Awards for the different pieces. Friday the 9th, that is this week. That is less than a week before we have our 50th episode at the Junks Building.
Nice job.
Good connection there, Bart.
Oh, nice.
I believe that's July 15th, yep. Thursday, 5:30 p.m.
Where at?
The Junks Building.
At where?
On Front Street. So I saw that. I've been doing a history project as part of the work that I do, and I saw that the Cuyahoga Valley Arts Center used to be a bank. Did anybody else know that? And I'm the only one that didn't.
That makes sense because there is a outside deposit box.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Where I work used to be a bank too, and they still have the vault. So it's kind of cool.
Hmm. Yeah, it was one of the Summit County Clerks of Courts was the president of that bank after he served for the county. For like 30 years or something before he died. Kind of interesting, all the history I've been digging up here lately. But yeah, it was I'm like looking at it, I'm like, why do I know that building? And then I saw like a modern day view of the building next to it. I'm like, oh, that's why. Cuyahoga Valley Arts Center. So, well, that's cool. Got stuff happening, lots of good stuff happening in the city, including things like 50th episode extravaganza.
P.S. I want to mention a art show a friend of mine is having on the 16th in the Jenks building. His name's Chuck Solnecker. I can't.
Solnecker.
Solnecker. Yeah, he's a. I've known him for years. Used to be a fellow artist. Used to show at Studio 2091 with me, and he's having his paintings all over the inside of the gallery. He's having a show on the 16th at 5 p.m. 5 to 7 p.m. So.
So the day after our 50th live go show with
He paints from photographs, and they're really abstract, and they're very cool. He does a lot of local spots, Kent and Falls, and
I know Chuck. His stuff is really cool.
I've seen some of that. It's really good.
Yeah,
his stuff is really awesome.
Cool. Well, we want to thank our listeners for joining us this week, and we want to thank Jerry Holland for speaking with us. So stick around for my interview with her right after this. Remember that we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees, and you can shout them out to us at fallsfreepress@gmail.com, and of course, we're always in the market for article submissions too. Please be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and elsewhere if you enjoyed what you heard. For now, we will say goodbye, and we hope you'll join us on Thursday, July 15th at 5:30 p.m. at the Jenks Building for our 50th episode extravaganza. Don't forget to get vaccinated. So we will see everybody live and in person on Thursday, July 15th at 5:30. There's no ticket fee or anything like that. Just show up and hang out and listen to us all make fun of me. And then I'll interview the mayor. Yeah.
Punch Alex in the face.
Slap Mike around a few times. It's going to be good stuff.
Yeah.
That'll be Thursday, July 15th at the Jenks Building starting at 5:30 p.m. We hope to see you guys all there. We really just love doing the Falls Cast every week, and getting to a 50th episode is a huge milestone, and we all do this in spite of the fact that we have to do it with Mike, so come and join in our sorrow.
I'm wearing my banana hammock now.
We look forward to seeing
Jeez.
I'll have the salty banana sign.
I thought that was a color nut bra.
Oh, the nut bra.
Nut bra.
Oh my gosh. Actually, don't give him any ideas.
Steve doesn't need the nut bra yet.
Actually, that's a great idea for Tom Sullivan, who makes fake signs for non-existent bars and businesses. Like at the Jenks Building in the area where we're going to do the show, there's a big sign that says Permanent Records as though it's a record store. Tom should just do the salty banana, I think, is what should happen.
There you go.
I think that is a great idea.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us, listeners, that is. And we look forward to seeing a bunch of you in person next week. For now, we will say goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. We're back on the Falls Cast with Jerry Holland, the president of the Cuyahoga Falls Historical Society and the organizer of a GoFundMe that was created to raise money to provide a marker at the gravesite of a former slave and his wife who lived in Cuyahoga Falls in the 19th century. Jerry Holland, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So I would like to start just by talking a little bit about the Handsparker project. I think that this is just a really amazing thing that you guys were able to do. Correct me if I'm wrong, but have you guys already now met your goal to raise all the money to get the marker?
We have. We expected it to go on till August, and we were kicking it off on Juneteenth, but we started it about a week early and made the money by July 19th or 20th. We made all the money. It was amazing.
Awesome. By June 19th or 20th.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Awesome. And so can you tell me a little bit about, because I know it's a pretty amazing story of how you guys even came across the fact that this gentleman lived in Cuyahoga Falls and then were able to actually find his plot in Oakwood Cemetery there. Can you tell us the sort of the background and how we got to this point?
Well, it started with just doing genealogy for my brother-in-law, and he came from Selma, Alabama, and I started from there. It's a long story short, but I started reading slavery accounts, like personal slave accounts. Formerly enslaved people wrote their stories, and I started reading those. And then I know, because of Cuyahoga Falls, we don't have a positive Black history the last 180 years. But I wanted to look prior to that, like in the 1830s, 1840s, and I started doing some research. And I found that we had, we were at that time, Summit County, our area of Summit County used to be in Portage County. And Portage County had the largest anti-slavery society in the United States. And branched off of that were 50 members of the anti-slavery movement in Cuyahoga Falls. And then from that, I found out there were several locations. We were just as big of a Underground Railroad site as, say, Hudson. And lots of people that helped out and lots of stations, as you'd say. And it carried on from there. And I remembered at the time that I had scanned a couple of photos of a black man from the basement of the Cuyahoga Falls Library. And I went and pulled those back out. And his last name, his name was on the back of one of the photos. And so I started doing research for him. And I found out that he was actually a formerly enslaved man from Virginia. And when he was free, he moved here to Cuyahoga Falls when they were freed in 1865. And then where he met his wife. And I did some research on her. Her name was Emmeline Hopp. And she went by the name Emily. And I found her death certificate, and on her death certificate, it said Dixie Slave, D-I-X-E-Y, Slave, in quotation marks. And so it just kind of carried on from there, and I thought I sent our Cuyahoga Falls Historical Society secretary, Sean, out to the cemetery where she took some pictures and came back and said, they're unmarked, as are many of the other black people from that time buried in Oakwood Cemetery. And we thought that they deserved to be recognized for their struggles and the fact that they grew and lived here in Cuyahoga Falls all anew from freedom on. And they both died here in 1907, and they're buried next to each other with somebody else that we can't tell if it's a daughter or stepdaughter named Helen that's right next to them. So there's three graves side by side in Oakwood Cemetery of the Hansparkers.
Wow. And so what do you know about, what was his first name?
John.
John, what do you know about him, you know, besides that he, you know, existed and was in Cuyahoga Falls?
Well, when he came here, they married within a year of meeting, and they lived on South Front Street. We have several... Unbelievably, we have several photographs of him. In fact, we found Ken Clark from the Pryor family archives found a fourth photo of him the night before the Juneteenth celebration. So we have four photos total. And on the back of the photos, we've garnered information like that his nickname was Moses, that he was a gardener or a groundskeeper for the Pryor family who lived on the corner of Portage and 4th Street. And doing some other research with census records, he was also worked as a porter and, like I said, for a groundskeeper, and he worked at the Cuyahoga Falls Rivet Works as a laborer. And his wife, Emily, was a laundress, private laundry woman for a family who were thinking might have been Friars as well.
Wow. Now, is it?
They also had two children, but they did not survive childhood.
Wow. Now, is it pretty common to be able to find that much information on an individual like this?
Not at all. It was wild that we have four photos of him. We had, you know, we had the two that are similar. They were posed pictures down in the basement. And then with Ken Clark's help, we found some pictures of him. And it was just, it's wonderful we found what we have.
No kidding. And so are you still able to take donations if somebody wants to help out in any way? Or what's the next step for you guys?
Well, we're going to work on getting the other folks in the cemetery some headstones or monuments or whatever we can get for them. We're still doing research on some of the other African-Americans that are buried in the same area at the same time. We have not been able to prove yet any more slaves or were formerly enslaved, but that's ongoing. So any money we get from that on, we're hopefully we can put it into the fund for future stones at Oakwood.
And so would that be just sort of a general donation to the Historical Society then, or is the GoFundMe still alive that people can donate there?
The GoFundMe is still alive right now, and we are probably set up a different one to continue for other projects. This one in particular has to go towards this monument by the rules of those who be. We can't use it for anything else than what we raised it for, so. I will probably open another one up for next year's project. Whatever family we choose for next year, we will open up a new one.
What does it mean to you to be able to discover this history, particularly in light of, you know, the fact that, you know, Cuyahoga Falls is sort of famously, unfortunately, known as Caucasian Falls?
Right. It's amazing. I've had over the, I don't know how many years I've been doing local history for the library and for the Historical Society, and had people contact me or us in general and ask for our Black history. And I have to say, I'm sorry, but we don't have any positive history. That's really sad to say. But now we know, I mean, it's just amazing to me that we now know that we do have a bit of positive history, and but trying to free these people that were enslaved, and our churches helped, our some of our community leaders helped in the 1830s and 50s. And I just find it so amazing, and I'm so proud to sit back and watch people want to give and want to help support this project.
Can you talk about some of the people who have helped with the project, whether they be city officials or private individuals?
Sure. There's Mary Nichols Rhodes, who jumped on the bandwagon immediately, and she was a godsend, helped and contacted Sunny Matthews, who lives in the Falls here, and she is a local Black activist that has done a lot of work around here for Black citizenship in the Falls. And we got her on the project, and she hit the ground running and organized the ceremony and found people to donate in different groups. You know, this went nationwide. It's not just Cuyahoga Falls anymore. And we had donors from California, and she just did a wonderful job. And she's the one who actually completed the project, because I was almost at a loss, because it was getting bigger than me. So I didn't know how to go about it. So she really, really helped quite a bit.
And was the city's administration involved at all?
Well, Mary Nichols Rhodes is the Fourth Ward Councilwoman, and she was involved. The mayor was at the ceremony on June 19th, as well as a lot of Congress people. So we had a good turnout in the city, a lot of support from the city, and citizens alike.
Yeah, I saw you had Tavia Galansky. Mary Nichols Rhodes is actually my councilwoman. I'm a big fan of hers. Tell me about the marker. You know, when I think about cemeteries, particularly like cemeteries that go back, you know, a couple hundred years, you know, there are some like family markers that'll be really big and really sort of cool. I mean, are you guys hoping to just kind of do like a small gravestone, or are you going to have some kind of a monument? Or
I am aiming for a monument. I have an idea, and I have Chestnut Hill. The Cuyahoga Falls Cemetery, they do monuments and stones, and they have offered to help us have other people, but they drew a design out for me, and I wanted a dark stone and a taller dark stone with all three names on it, and then a quote, either the African proverb, "You speak my name and I shall live forever," or probably a quote from Mr. Douglas. So that's something that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll have an idea of when and where and how.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to finding out more about that. And, you know, just really want to thank you for your work on this and all the people, Sunny and Mary, and the great people, the mayor, Tavia Galansky, all the great people that came out.
Yeah.
And just really let you know how appreciative folks in the city are. You know, on the Fallscast here, we do talk to people occasionally who will give us ideas and want us to sort of you know, cover certain things, and we have those discussions ourselves. And this was something that we really, really wanted to cover. We were actually there. We streamed the event live on our Facebook page, so people can go if they weren't there and hear you speak and hear Sunny speak and hear Tavia Galansky speak. So, you know, I'm really just hugely appreciative of your attention to, speaking those names, as you said. I want to talk to you just a little more sort of less specifically about the Cuyahoga Falls Historical Society and the work that you do. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you got involved and what is actually going on at the Historical Society on a regular basis? What kinds of things you wish people would know about it that maybe they don't know?
Well, the number one thing is we exist. We have more people say that they didn't know we were here, or that they had no idea that Cuyahoga Falls even had a historical society, let alone a museum. And we're kind of out. We're out up on 2083 Cook Street by Portage Towers, so we're kind of out of the way of downtown. So a lot of people don't know we're here. So that's what I've been trying to do for the past 3 years, is, well, minus the COVID part, but we're trying to get our name out there and working with Downtown Cuyahoga Falls Partnership and things like that, trying to get our name out there and do some different projects. I've been involved with it for years, minorly, and then got more into it as the years went on, and also with history with the Cuyahoga Falls Library. And I've been president for about 3 years now, but 14 months of that, we kind of couldn't do anything. But I've been trying to get, us collectively, we're doing some projects this summer to help get our name out there a little more. Like August will be a temperance tour with along with a pub crawl with the Downtown Partnership. That's one of our ideas. And the following month, which we may coincide with the unveiling of the Hans Parker Stone, we're going to do an Underground Railroad tour through the downtown area. And then we have, November, we're going to do like a Pioneers type of deal so people can get to know our forefathers who founded this area. And so we have a lot of different projects that we're working on. And we've been sprucing up the museum ever since we started getting our board members have been getting vaccinated. We've been coming in and working on new displays and getting the museum up to par for visitors, and we've had an amazing amount already come in. I think people are itching to get out. They've been cooped up too long. So we've had a lot of people coming in for research and just to check our displays out and stuff.
Yeah. So how is the museum and the society funded? Is it benefactors? Is it like some kind of a tax levy? How do you guys get support?
We survive solely on public donations.
Okay.
All of us are volunteers. We are not paid. So everything that comes in goes directly to the museum and the Historical Society.
And so is there some place people can go to make a donation to help make sure that we continue to celebrate the history of our great city?
We take it in person. We are here. We're open Monday and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And we also have a donation link on our website, which is www.cuyahogafallshistory.com. And we take donations that way or mail it anyway. Depends on the age group, whether they want to mail a check or they want to use the internet. So it comes in a variety of ways. We get donations of things, through this whole quarantine and pandemic, people have been cleaning out their homes. We have been accepting photos and documents and blankets and school stuff and all kinds of great things that have been coming in, and we've been accessioning and putting out on display. So we take monetary and tangible donations that are Cuyahoga Falls related.
Cool. Yeah. Can you talk to us about, I believe I've seen some things on social media about some guys who do the sort of like metal detector work.
Yes, Ian. And yeah, they have, it's Cuyahoga Falls, I forget the name, Cuyahoga Falls Digging History. history, something along those lines. I'll have to give you the right link for that. But they came in and we gave them the whole front case as you walk in the front door, and they have displayed an enormous amount of great stuff they found in Cog Falls, everything from Civil War to, you know, the 1940s that they found in the area, and it's wonderful. They're labeling it right now so that we know what some of these things are, but it's a beautiful display they've got going right now.
What are some of the things that you are the most excited about as far as things that are on display in the museum?
Monday we're going to be working on a Civil War display. And putting out, we have a new chest that somebody donated from their great-grandfather's Civil War era. It's just a chest they had all their stuff in. And a variety of, and we're going to be pulling it out. There's helmet, just all kinds of things that we're going to be putting on the display. So that's probably my favorite. Right now, as we were cleaning out the museum in a back closet, I don't know how it got back there, but we found a shoebox, and I started going through it, and I found Cog Falls at one time in the 1860s had their own money, and we had a collective quasi bank at the time, and just a variety of different things they were trying to make work, and within this money and coins and stuff, I found two banknotes that belonged to John Brown, the abolitionist. And that just blew my mind. So, like, I could not believe it. It wasn't in the computer. I don't know how they got in there. But we have these two banknotes from John Brown. So that's probably my favorite right now.
That's awesome. What if any, is the connection between Cuyahoga Falls and the Western Reserve? Because I know Jonathan Hale came here in 1810, and the Cuyahoga Falls was founded in 1812, and Western Reserve was thought to be hugely abolitionist as well. Do you have any information about the link between the two, if any?
I don't know a whole lot about that early. I know the Hales, and I know the Prances that were diagonal from them at the farm down there. But I don't know a whole lot more about them. My family itself came in here. The Wilcoxes came in 1809 from Connecticut. So they came out here, but I haven't found any proof that they were a part of the abolition movement, but they came here, they were one of the first people that built the mill down here in Bailey in front, or they built three mills, and it was very competitive. There was people up by Mud Creek, and they came down and burned our mills down here. And so my forefathers got mad and went back to the farm, which happened to be on Mineral Falls Avenue by Ruther Mold. And they went off, and the only time they left the farm was to go to church. But so I haven't heard any stories about them with the abolition. But I do have another ancestor that was a part of. He's actually one of the founders of the Anti-Slavery Society, Orlando Wilcox. And he was a founder with the Henrys, Henry Newberry and Henry Wetmore. And they are the founders of the group, the main people that started this and went to Ravenna and started another group. And I'm proud of that.
I guess the other thing I wanted to talk about with you a little bit is your own work, in addition to running the Historical Society and being so involved in local history in the ways that you have, with more notoriety lately because of the reach that you've gotten with the Handsparker Project, you are also an author, and a lot of the work that you have done as far as the things that you published, I think I saw four books, so maybe you could tell me if there's more. Have been rooted in history. Can you talk a little bit about your work?
I have five out right now, and I'm working on two that I've been working on for a while now. I started with Haunted Akron. Somebody from History Press said they noticed my work in paranormal and history, and the two usually go hand in hand. So they asked me to write a book that had to do with history and the paranormal. So I wrote Haunted Akron, and it's basically spoon feeding nicely history to people while being interested in the paranormal. So there's lots of great stories in that with you know, like the theater downtown, and it's all over some accounting centers in Akron. And the second book kind of rolled off the first, and it had to do with murder and mayhem of Summit County, Akron and Summit County. And I can't remember what I did after that. The Christmas book, I had to change genres. I went to Memories of an Akron Christmas, you know, people going down to O'Neill's and Polsky's and the activities they did, and what, you know, to talk about Christmas, you used to be illegal to practice that and or celebrate it, and all the way to Depression era, the fruit they used to get in their stockings. And I went to a couple of nursing homes and interviewed some people about their experiences in their childhood for their Christmases. After that, I did, I actually self-published a book because I didn't want, when you write a book through a publishing company, they want you to keep it a certain size and only a certain amount of pictures. Well, I found in the basement of the Cuyahoga Falls Library a slew of handwritten memories of people from back in the 1830s on up, school experiences, whatnot. So I took those and wrote, put them, compiled them, rewrote them, put them in a book called River of Memories, Cuyahoga Falls. And it tells about a woman that ran a boarding house that built a toboggan in her side yard to keep boys out of trouble. And, you know, being, getting a switch at school and just lots of great stories. And so that's probably my favorite. And then after that, I did the Cuyahoga Falls Postcards book.
Cool. Well, that's great. I mean, it's really just so important to understand our history and to have folks like you out there, you know, doing that difficult work, because I know, you know, sometimes you got to chase down something that might just be a very small detail of the bigger picture of what it is you're looking at. And it can be difficult just to find that little thing just so that you have, you know, something that you can point to back up what it is you're reporting, essentially. And there are it's other, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's also what you said. It's hard writing about local history than it is than just regular like fiction stories, because everybody has a different angle of how they viewed history. So you have to you have five different views, and then you have to figure out which one is the best. So it's really I find it really difficult to write history, but fun when it's and rewarding once it's finished.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big problems is just finding that sort of that backup information just to sort of show that, you know, what it is you've come across is, you know, something that you can document, you know. But that's the nature of research, and particularly in history. So
yes.
Like I say, it's good that, you know, there are people out there who are doing that difficult work. So keep doing what you're doing. We thank you so much for the hard work that you do as a volunteer, no less, at the Cuyahoga Falls Historical Society. We hope that everybody will go to the museum either in person or check it out online and make a donation so that folks like you who are doing what you're doing have the budget that you need to be able to keep doing it. And you know, maybe there's some way we can get a talented grant writer out there or something to figure out a way to get you guys paid or something.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Fallscast and talking about the Handsparkers and the Historical Society and your published work. We really appreciate you, you know, coming on the show and again, everything that you do. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right.
Fallscast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress or @falls_free on Twitter or Instagram. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Alex Hall. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so that they can listen as well.
they trade in sexual favors to keep violence down. They're yeah. happy.
You, Mike.
Bonobo Mike.
Help Mike a horny ape.
He's happy and trades in sexual